Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. Today on the show, I have Mr. Logo Geek himself, Ian Paget.
Hi, Daryl. How are you?
How are you doing? Can't hear well.
Yeah, good.
All right, ready to get started?
Sure, go for it.
So, from starting to getting to the Logo Geek, I guess.
Okay, so where did I start? Basically, my very first job was actually as a print finisher. So what I was doing in that job was essentially taking printed graphics, mm-hmm. and my job, I was just like a trainee assistant, but basically the two of us there, we would take those printed panels and turn it into exhibition stands. But I quickly learned I didn't want to do that bit. I wanted to do the bit on the computer that the guys were doing. I wanted to be working on the graphics. So it turned out that I cut my finger really badly in that job. Mm. And I made my mind up that I was going to leave it. And at this time, I didn't have any qualifications. Like, I didn't know how to use any of like Photoshop or Illustrator or anything like that. I was just about 18.
Gotcha.
So I left that job, and at that point I got a job in a warehouse where my friend worked. And during my interview, because of the time that I needed to do it, I actually had it with like the MD of the company, and I mentioned that I wanted to work on graphics and printed stuff like that. Yeah. And I was really lucky that in that job, even though it started out as a warehouse, you know, this was just a temporary job because I needed something. My friend worked there. He got me this job. I was like 18. And in that role, I was offered an office-based job. And about 10% of this job was working on posters because they know that I was quite good at drawing. And a lot of these posters, it was a medical company.
Gotcha.
And within this medical company, they needed to create posters that shown how the medical products connected.
Gotcha.
So this team, it was called Product Support and Education, and what they would do is create like brochures, posters, and so on. But I didn't realize at that time what they were doing. There was just two girls in there, but it was like part of their day, they would be working on these brochures, mm-hmm. and they would actually outsource them to this guy that would turn it into, you know, proper printed, print ready artwork.
Gotcha.
I didn't know they did that. So when they set me this task to do this leaflet, I put this whole thing together, all print ready. And they were pretty impressed. So
wow.
They were able to give me some training with like a local print company. And that's kind of where things started for me, really. I just got lucky, really, landed this like admin based job that became a full on graphics based job.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously this guy that they was outsourcing it to, it was quite expensive, but I was like this like 19, 20 year old, no qualification. So they were able to pay me a lot less than him, but I took the bull by the horns and just spent all of my evenings learning. And I mean, that job over the space of 5 years, that team went from being like 90% admin to being a small team of like a small graphics team where we're taking our own photos, creating our own brochures. I was doing a lot of like product illustration, stuff like that. But yeah, I learned so much in that role because that team developed and they were prepared to invest in it. So that's where I started. And I got a lot of education and experience in that role, kind of on the job.
Gotcha.
And from there, I got to a point where I hit a glass ceiling. Like, I was essentially redoing my own work. So I decided to look for another job, and that ended up being an e-commerce solutions company. So I started working on web. And that's when I started working on logos. Like, it was the first time that I ever started working on logos. And I mean, those projects very rarely came in. But I found that's one thing that I really enjoy doing.
Right.
And whilst I was working in these full-time jobs, I was also kind of practicing at home. So I found practicing at home was like the best way for me to learn and improve. So I kept taking on projects at home. And I mean, when I was quite young, that just started being like, I was using MySpace at that time and doing free work for, you know, bands and stuff like that. Right. It was all really bad. But yeah, I just kept doing more, and then I started collaborating with some guys on like computer games, and I got to a point where I started working on Lego so I could practice. Mm-hmm. And that's when I created Logo Geek. Like, it was just purely a way, like, in tandem with my day job, because I wasn't doing many Legos and I enjoyed it, I decided, okay, I'm gonna work on these on the side. Mm-hmm. So I started just working on them for friends and family and so on. And I decided, okay, I want to do more of this. I want some way of presenting this and showing it to people. So I started looking for a domain, just so that I can have a website, just to, you know, just to put what I've done. Mm-hmm. Never planned it to be a business. It was just, okay, I'm practicing this stuff. I want to start writing about what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. I spent a load of time looking for different domains, and I mean, it took hours to find something available right at that point, because I just wanted a .com or a .co.uk, and there was nothing right that I wanted.
What year was this?
This was probably only about 5 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, obviously now we got all of these new URLs, so it's a lot easier to come up with a really good domain. But at that point, anything .com or .co.uk, you came up with a business name like Logo. there was nothing. But I typed in logogeek.co.uk and it was there. And I'm like, that is a cool domain. So at that point, I registered that domain. I'd had a little bit of experience at that time in WordPress. So I set up a WordPress website, slapped it together in an evening. Started putting my work on there, decided, okay, I'm going to create these social media groups as well. You know, why not? Right. And I mean, on the side, I've been working on this gradually, and there became a point where I started to get more and more inquiries from that website, which was totally unexpected. I never planned to become like to create a business or to work as a freelancer, but basically because I've been doing that on the side, like over the space of like 3 years, just working on it on like on a holiday or a weekend or an evening, just a little bit now and again, mm-hmm. It quickly became more than what I ever expected it to. Like, my social media group, that's, you know, it started at zero, like when I created this, and now it's at about 85,000.
Right. That's on Twitter, right?
That's on Twitter. I've got an email list which has grown to about 10,000 now. And because of what I've been doing on social media, I've got a lot of opportunities, judging, I've been in books and magazines and all sorts of stuff just showing my work. So, I mean, in terms of Legos, that's become a real passion for me. Mm-hmm. So about this time last year, I decided, okay, I'm gonna go full time freelance. Let's see how this goes. So I went to my boss, sat down with him. I've been in that job for about 7 years at that point. So I mean, at that point, I was creative director for the company. You know, working on all the big web projects. So they wasn't particularly happy that I wanted to leave. But I was honest with them. I explained my plans and said I'm happy to give you know, as much notice as I need to find someone else. But at that point, my boss actually said, would you be open to part-time? And I thought, yeah, why not? That's win-win for me. I get to continue working for them. I've got some stability, but it also gives me time to work on my business. So this time last year, I went part-time. So here today still, I work for that company 3 days a week, work creative director for an e-commerce web agency. And the rest of the time, I'm growing my own logo business. So I spend pretty much all my free time working on logos and writing about logos and sharing resources about logos. That's pretty much where I am and how I got there.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So your email list, what are you sharing on your email list?
My email list, being totally honest, that is something that I haven't quite got to. Okay. But the reason why I've been growing it is because I like listening to podcasts, and a couple of different online marketing podcasts, they talk about owning your platform. So I've invested in a lot of time into Twitter in particular. So with Twitter, I'm on there every single day, and I probably spend between half an hour to an hour every single day. And that's a lot of time, and I've built up this large following. But what happens if Twitter vanishes? I've got nothing. Right. Back to square one to some extent. I mean, personally, I think it's unlikely to vanish, but already I've been reading blog posts about Twitter dying and all this sort of stuff. I don't think it's true. I think the people that are saying that just don't know how to use it. But yeah, I decided at the same time, this is about a year ago again, I decided, okay, I'm going to try and convert some of those Twitter followers into email subscribers.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I mean, the email list is something that I really want to get to, but because I am only part-time, I'm kind of focusing on clients and my client work and that type of thing. The emails are something I really want to do. I just need to work out a format and the best way of doing that. But at the moment, I've got the emails. I just haven't started sending those emails out to people, sadly.
Well, I mean, that's still cool. I mean, anytime you're ready, it's right there to kind of, get started. And
absolutely.
I'm a firm believer in building your own platform. Firm believer. I've listened to those podcasts and heard those people too. It makes a lot of sense because,
it does make sense. I mean, as well, say if you post something out on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of these social media platforms, what percentage of people actually see that? I mean, I've got a large following on those platforms, but it's very likely that a lot of those people don't use Facebook, don't use those social platforms anymore, or they don't check their feed properly. So in reality, it's probably only about 100 people that actually see one tweet. But an email, it's more likely to be read as well. Right. So I think I think email is probably stronger from a conversion point of view. Yeah, the people are more likely to see that as well. And also they got control over that because at any point they can unsubscribe if they're not interested in it. Right. So I do think building up an email list is you know, from a business marketing point of view, I do think email is probably way better than any other platform. But I know I'm just not taking advantage of that at the moment.
Well, I mean, it's good to have one, and you have a big one. You have a very good one. So, I mean, that's good.
I just need to work on it. Yeah, I'm missing out big time. I know it.
So you are doing Logo Geek, I guess, part time and working part time. So,
yeah.
I didn't know that you actually do design for other people too. I thought you kind of just did Logo Geek. So
yeah, a lot of people assume that. Like I found from my experience, you need to show the work that you want to do.
Right.
And I work on a lot of web-based projects in my part-time job, which is something I enjoy. But as a freelancer, that's not something that I want to do. And it's I mean, the type of projects that I'm working on in that part-time job, I couldn't take on that capacity of work anyway myself.
Right.
Like I've just recently worked on a project with Barclaycard, for example, and that like the project value of that, it's huge. Like it would be a very decent salary if I was to take on a project like that. But as I'm working for myself and not collaborating with other people, I don't have the capacity to take on that kind of work. So I prefer, as a freelancer, to show the type of work that I want to receive. And at the moment, because, I mean, there's loads of other things I actually want to do. But I love illustration and I want to do more illustration. But at the moment, I've got all these processes set up for logo projects. Like I've got template emails, I've got like process documents, questionnaires. I know exactly how to respond to emails. You know, say if someone's got an objection, I know exactly how to get back to them with that. I've almost got templates for everything. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like a system, I've got a system set up for logos. But if someone wanted something else like a website, I just don't have that set up. So even though it might be the same value, I would have to write a quotation for that, for example. Like, I would have to write new emails for that. So a project that comes in that's not a logo, just because I don't have that infrastructure set up myself, it just takes more time. So I've kind of made the choice to focus on logos for that reason. Like maybe someone will ask for a business card, and a business card is pretty easy. Like you don't really need a process for that. They just need to send the information, you put it together. Same with any stationery. So I'll do that with the logo, but pretty much nothing else. I've made the call to focus on that exclusively, and it seems to be working out because it means that I can invest my time marketing that only. So when someone talks about me, I'm the logo guy. And I don't really want to muddy the water, especially when I've only got, I mean, two days a week. I'm doing more than that, but 2 days a week is only 16 hours. And there's only really enough time to take on like one project a week. So I can't really do a lot of work. So it makes sense just to focus exclusively on one thing.
Makes sense. Which is true. Makes sense. So I know it hasn't been like all easy. So what would you say, like, what was through this journey and growing the platform, growing Logo Geek, what was like the biggest struggle and stuff like that you went through?
I can talk about different areas, but with audience growing, I decided the only way to grow it to the level that it's at now is to work on it every single day. And when I started this, it was whilst I was full time. So I needed to find a way to make this part of my daily routine. So when I first started out, I decided, okay, first thing, every single morning when I wake up, I would have to interact with people. I would have to post. I would have to do this. So I kind of made my mind up. I have to do that every single day for at least 2 years to get to see any success. I mean, I decided I'm going to grow this to like 10,000. I thought, yeah, that's, I'm going to do that in 5 years. And the only way I could do that is to post every single day. Like there's no other way to do it. Like, I decided I want to be seen as this person that, you know, that is the go-to person in the entire world for this. You know, this is like this somewhere out there goal. And the only way that you can do that is to do it every single day. So I decided, okay, first thing, every single morning, I'm going to do this. And of course, there's days when you're really tired and you don't really feel like going to work. You're just kind of like, oh. I said, you know, everyone feels right. Like that. Sometimes you wake up, ready for this. But when you try to do something every single day, you always get those days where it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. But I made it a routine and I just got on with it. I just sat down, phone open, you know. Right. And at first that was quite hard, but then it became a routine. And it just meant even on those days when it was, when I didn't feel like doing it, I just did it, you know. You know, like you wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth, you have a shower.
Right.
I was doing my Twitter, brushing my teeth. I just made it this routine. I'm not so strict on that now because I wanted to do all this groundwork that would get me to a point where it's more manageable, but I'm still trying to post every day. And that's just become... Because I forced this upon myself to grow this audience and I found it really hard at the beginning, that's become quite comfortable for me to do now, and I just do it when I feel like it pretty much. Nice. I find it interesting. I enjoy doing it. It's hard to avoid because my phone's always got these alerts on it that someone's followed or someone's asked a question. I'm always checking the sites that report this stuff. So as soon as I see something, it doesn't take long to go copy paste post. Once you kind of made a routine and got used to doing something, it's really easy. In terms of working as a freelancer, when I first started, I thought, yeah, freelance means I've got time. I'm like, yeah, I've got time. I can finally write that blog post. I can finally write my book. I can finally reply to those emails. I can finally do all these opportunities. But you know what? All those cool things, you don't get paid for them.
Right.
So when I first started, I just felt really miserable because I became very aware of the things that I want to do not make any money. And sometimes you got to just sit down and do stuff that's fairly, you know, not that great
right.
to make money. So sure. Things like trying to find clients, responding to clients, calling clients, sitting down, doing the work, sitting down, like, I've always worked in web and on print-based projects, and they're, in comparison to working on Legos, they're really easy because you can find a website and go, yeah, that website's cool. I'll kind of copy it. You can get away with that. I don't care what anyone says. If anyone that works in web or print, they are doing that. You know, you find something, you get inspired by it.
You get inspired and you, yes.
Yeah, and you create something similar. You can mm-hmm. copy techniques or trends or whatever. So working on web, I can do that with my eyes closed. Working on Legos, when I was doing it on the side of a full-time job, I had more time to work on it because I had a stable income coming in and I only took on maybe one project a month. So I didn't realize, but when you're trying to come up with original ideas, which is essential for Legos, trying to sit down in an allocated time slot to come up with a good idea, oh my God, it's really hard. That's where I struggled with at first, because I'm what I did at the beginning is I fully booked out my entire diary. So it's like I was taking on maybe 5-6 projects a month. I found, and this is a big mistake that I did, day one, done no work because I can't think of anything good. You know, like I sat down, done all of the work, drawn lots of sketch, loads of ideas, done all the brainstorming stuff, done loads of research. But in terms of actual solid designs that are valid, day one, actually done no work whatsoever that's of any value. Day two, suddenly all these good ideas come together. But that's when you wanted to start your next project.
Right.
So you end up having projects that start overlapping. And I also found that clients don't respond when you want them to.
Right.
Like, I want clients to respond on that day so that I can, you know, in terms of scheduling the projects, because I've only got 2 days a week, that was my biggest struggle at the beginning, was trying to fit those in. So what actually happened in reality is my weekend, my evenings, my free time, my life, gone. Because the projects would overlap. They would take longer than expected. Clients would come back late. Clients would come back with feedback that you didn't expect, which meant that sometimes you've got to almost redo everything. So at a project allocation, that became really hard for me with logos. Because previously in my day job, I've always worked with print-based or web-based. And to be fair, you allocate a day, you can get it done in a day because it's fairly easy. And with web-based projects, you can, when you present it to the client, you can explain why you've done it that way. And there's kind of like a quote that specifies exactly what's needed. But with a logo, doesn't work that way. So the way that I've got around that, and it's taken a little bit of time to find the best way of doing it, is to A, increase my price and allocate time, including a buffer. So rather than like 6 projects a month, I've taken it down to about 3 or 4. And that just gives me some slack. So in the event the client, you know, a client takes like 2 weeks to get back to you, I can smooth things around. I've got that slack in my calendar, basically. And that slack, if I complete a project early, I've got that slack to also write a blog post. And I'm also making enough money to justify that I can do that thing.
Right.
So yeah, that was my biggest struggle. It was just literally overbooking my diary and pushing myself too hard and getting stressed and you know, having so much client work that I couldn't actually do the things that I wanted to do.
Right.
Because the reason why I went freelance is because so that I could have time to do things like write more blog posts, start writing a book and so on. But, you know, the reality of that was, I was making more money, but I lost my time.
Right.
So, yeah, that was the hardest thing. And it's probably taken almost the entire last year to actually find a way to do that. But now I've structure in place, and I've recently relocated as well. So I used to live in Reading, and the living costs in Reading is quite high. I mean, like monthly rent, you're talking about £1,000 a month. Because it's so close to London. I mean,
I could get
into central London in like half an hour from my flat. So you're paying for that. So I recently moved up north, and I'm actually buying a house, and my mortgage is half the price that my rent used to be. So I've essentially half my living costs, so that my part-time job covers my costs. So I've got slack. So
right, takes off, you know, pressure.
Because I've been able to think long term.
Right.
I've been able to make changes in my life to accommodate to that.
Right. That's kind of like that's a good example. I think we're all kind of taking on the overlap technique from Sean West,
I listen to Sean West stuff, and I've read books like The One Thing.
Okay.
And I found that really useful for me because it allows you to think, okay, what's my long-term plan?
Right.
And like, I've got this long-term plan of, I want to focus on the Lego side of things. And like my somewhere out there girl, like for anyone that's listening, like essentially this book, it, to summarize it down, the idea is that you have like this somewhere out there goal, you know, that might take you 50 years to achieve, but then you have a five, you know, what do you need to do in 5 years time to be close to doing that? So you can create like a 5 year goal. So in 5 years time, I, for example, would like to have a book, like to have a training course, maybe like to do presentations, maybe workshops, you know, all this type of thing. But the reality is doing presentations makes you want to throw up. Writing a book is really hard. Growing an audience takes a lot of time. You know, there's all this stuff. But what you can do is break that 5 years down into years. Like, what do you need to do each year to achieve that in five? And then you break down that year. What do you need to do each month to get to that year? And then you got a month. What do you need to do each week to get that month? What do you need to do each day? What do you need to do each hour? What do you need to do now? And like, you can basically reverse engineer what you want to do. And that's essentially what I've tried to do over the last 3 years. So I wanted to build an audience, and I mean, it's all happened a lot quicker than what I expected. But now I need to start doing more stuff. Like, I need to start working on my book. I need to start working on some sort of training courses. I need to get more confident so that I can do the public speaking. That's the reason why I'm doing podcasts. Because I've got social anxiety. So if I went up on a stage now, I'll probably be sick. Or be shaking, or have the jitters or whatever. So I'm trying to do more podcasts, interviews, to get a little bit more comfortable at speaking. And then I might try doing some small group workshops, you know, with like three people or something, to practice that. But, you know, because I got this somewhere out there goal, I've been able to make changes in my work and life. That's why I went freelance. Because I can't achieve what I want to without spending more time on it. And it's why I moved, because my somewhere out there goal includes owning a house. If I stay near London in 20 years' time, I'm still going to be renting.
Gotcha.
But because I relocated, in 20 years' time, I will own something. So, you know, you can kind of, by having a somewhere out there goal, you are able to plan towards that and work towards it. And you know what things that you put yourself down to, you know that that's a waste of time or it's worth doing. You can do things that scare you because you know that no matter what happens, you can get to that. So yeah, it's just a good way of looking at things.
Yeah, and it kind of gets you to be more intentional in why you're doing what you're doing. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so exactly. I think it's really important. I mean, it's probably one of the most important things that I feel like I've learned in my like late 20s. Mm-hmm. I am in my early 30s now, but that's probably the most important thing that I learned, is that anyone can achieve anything they want to as long as they know what the end goal is. So if you can work out the end goal, you can reverse engineer it. So whatever your dream is, stop crossing your fingers and wishing and, you know, praying or whatever. Stop hoping that's going to happen. Start planning and working out how you can get to that. Like, if you want to become the president of the United States of America, you need to reverse engineer how you can do that. Right. Who you need to make friends with,
right.
What place you need to live, who you need to hang out with, what you need to learn, what qualifications you need, right. You know, all this sort of stuff. Like, get into that, climbing the top of the mountain, you know, you need to know what kit you need, what things you need to learn, and so on. And that doesn't happen without having a clear goal. Mm-hmm.
So and whatever actually you're starting doing, too.
Yeah, exactly. You get nowhere without starting somewhere. Like I've got a business now that's making more money than my part-time job. Like I work 3 days a week. My freelance work makes more money than that. And I would never have got to that if I didn't sit down and work on it every day. And 30 minutes a day, I find it, and like when you're working on your own thing, every tiny thing that you do adds up. So registering a domain one day takes like 15 minutes. Next day, setting up a MySQL database takes like 10 minutes. Next day, downloading, you know, you can do all these tiny things every single day and you can achieve what you want to with baby steps. Because it's not like, you know, when you work for a company, someone else is, you know, you don't really see the outcome of that because someone else is, you know, you're creating someone else's dream. But when you're working on your own thing and you do all these small little steps every single day, those one steps, after 100 steps, you suddenly got this thing. And it's like, oh, I did that myself.
So
and
true.
That's probably the biggest thing that I found with LogoGeek. Like, I never imagined it to be more than just this little side blog. But because I've been working on it for maybe half an hour a day, or, you know, obviously a little bit more at times, you know, writing blog posts and so on, these little tiny things, all these connections that I've been making every single day, they all mount up, and each little thing has created a bigger opportunity. And you get a lot of people, like especially like young people, they will look at what I've done now and they're like, oh my god, you got like 85,000 followers, you got this website, you're on page one of you're on page one of Google for this. Now I did that with tiny steps, and you can't get to that overnight. You can't just sit down and ta-da, I've done this. Right. But if you do lots of little things every single day, you can do that.
So true, so true. I mean, you're 100% right in everything you say. These tiny little steps, I always like when I'm encouraging either family or friends, I'm like, just do something every day. If you want to write something, if you write a paragraph every day, you have 7 paragraphs at the end of the week.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just like, you know, and you're so right in it. So when Ian is not really, you know, who is Ian's support system? Like, who are the people that you say, okay, you know, you draw energy from, you know, those are the people that encourage you, those are the people that, you know, you go to when you need that boost?
Okay. The main person is probably my girlfriend. So she supports me with everything. And then after that, I've got a lot of podcasts I listen to. People like Sean Wes, who you mentioned, or Sean McCabe. He's got a really good podcast. Pat Flynn is probably the one person that I'm listening to every single day. He has a Smart Passive Income podcast. And Ask Pat. They're really good. Really good for just business and marketing and all that sort of thing. And I just find him inspiring in general. It sounds cheesy, but my social media following actually gives me a bit of a kick. Like, I post something out and I've got these people that just support what I'm doing, and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for those people supporting me. So I mean, that's probably, I would always say that is like one of the strongest things, because as a freelancer, you're kind of working in isolation, and it's quite hard, you know, to keep going with it, because, you know, with a full-time job, it's 9 to 5, you can go home and you can get away with it, but freelance is your life.
Right.
So I do actually find, you know, my Twitter followers and friends that I've gained from that is, you know, it's very supporting to keep me going with what I'm doing. And I mean, it has been the followers of that's kept me posting and learning. I really don't think I would know as much as I do about logos if it wasn't for my following.
All right. Totally understand. Sounds good. So kind of like, give me an idea of like some of the outside, I guess, outside of freelance, some of the ways, I guess, two or three, some of the ways how you monetize Logo Geek.
Okay. Probably the biggest thing outside of actually offering services is through affiliate marketing.
Gotcha.
So I've got a handful of companies that I basically advertise their stuff. So Skillshare, for example, I would talk about and share that anyway. But each time I share a link, it's normally got like an extra little bit of code at the end of the URL. And if someone signs up, I get a like £10. So it's not huge amounts of money.
Right.
Like I get the bulk of my income from client work. Like because I've got a part-time job, which brings in enough money to cover my living costs.
Right.
And then I've got client work, which is probably the next big block. And then I've got my affiliate marketing.
Gotcha.
So at the moment here today, that's the main things.
Gotcha.
Longer term, I really want to start creating products in some form. Because I've got a following of, you know, people that love logos. So I should have a online shop that sells cool stuff that helps people learn or helps people create their own business or anything like that.
Right.
So that's something that I would like to do longer term, and I really want to start looking at. And that's when I'd be using my email list, is to promote, you know, these products that I create.
Makes sense. Makes tons of sense. I mean, you kind of already built the platform. Now it's basically
to create the products.
Right. So, I mean, like, you've sure, like, dropped a whole bunch of knowledge. What, I guess, the main advice you would give to, I guess, I know we are both, like, in the logo and the design atmosphere, but what's, like, the main advice you would give someone in trying to build an audience and start their own thing or just leaping out there?
Specifically about building an audience, I find with platforms such as Facebook, you need to pay. So you need to do it, but don't worry about it. I personally found Twitter is the quickest and easiest way to connect with people and build an audience. And what I've been able to do is interact with people every day, and every single person who is on Twitter, you can reach out to them and talk to them. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. So what you can do on Twitter is search for people or search for tweets. So for example, if like Creative Block, if they share out a tweet, you can also see who's interacting with that. So if you want to connect with other people that are interested in the topic that you're sharing, you can find a tweet that, someone else has posted that's relevant to what you're doing. And you can then interact with the people that are interacting with those tweets. So like, you know, say if someone's posted in the last 5 minutes, you can see who's interacted within the last 5 minutes. So they're probably online. So you can find those people, you can check out what they're doing, you can start a conversation with them.
Right.
Twitter allows you to do that. You can follow them, you can like their posts, you can send them a message, and you basically just start a conversation with that person, and hopefully they will follow you back. I mean, it's quite a hard way of doing that, but you know, if you did that same thing every single day,
right? It's true.
You know, you within a year, you're gonna have, you know, a whole bunch of followers that you actually know personally. And if you keep posting, and I think this is the important thing with social media and building an audience, is that you need to create, you need to keep posting good content. So if you combine posting good content with talking with other people that are interested in what you're doing, you're going to grow that audience. And Twitter allows you to do that totally free of charge. So personally, yeah, I mean, Twitter, post good stuff, interact with other people, you're going to grow an audience.
Great, man. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your
no
day
worries.
To do this, man.
Good to speak to you.
Yeah, man, it's good to speak to you face to face. I mean, mm-hmm. I love what you're doing. Been noticing it for quite some time now. So, where would you say is the main place if someone wants to reach out to you or get in touch with you or learn what you're doing?
Okay, so my website is at logogeek.uk, and you can find me on Twitter at @logo_geek. Basically, just Google Logo Geek and you'll find me.
Gotcha. Well, thank you again, man, for taking time out. It was good chatting with you, and you know, I'm definitely going to keep in touch. You know, we have a lot in common, so
yeah, for sure.
For sure, man. But for now, I'm going to say bye, and I just want to say thank you again for taking the time out to do this.
No worries. Okay, thanks, Darryl. Great
right,
to speak to you.
Take care, man.
Okay, take care. Bye.
You can also keep in touch with me at dpcreates.com. Blessings.